This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 241. What did you watch this week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
What's up, John? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, all things considered. How about yourself?
Doing pretty darn good, I reckon. You know, here we are. We're still remote recording because of pandemic.
Yeah. We had talked about the possibility of doing it tonight, but I pulled out at the last second. Giggity.
The whole thing was a big giggity.
It was. Basically, you know, for those of you who aren't in Maine, I mean, around the world, obviously, COVID is wreaking havoc, but like Maine just shattered its record. Yesterday, they reported 459 new cases in one day. And like up until now, a huge day for us was like 190. So,
yeah. But then this last month, this has been the biggest spike. We skipped the 300s completely. We were in the high 200s and then went from high 200s to 400, almost 500. So, I mean, that's a big jump. And I blame this giant uptick on the people gathering for the Thanksgiving holiday.
I do, too. I think that, you know, it was Thanksgiving and gathering either out of the state or having other people from outside the state come and gather with them. Yeah. And all these people who are still pushing against masks. Fucking mask.
Yes, they are still, but I actually see it being less and less.
Mm.
You know, I'm seeing more people complying, if you will, than non-complying. So
I just immediately thought of Ed 209 from RoboCop.
Yeah.
You are not in compliance.
Yeah. You have 20 seconds to comply.
Yep.
You have 15, you have 10 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah, they killed a lot of people.
Yeah, they did. So, as you pointed out earlier in the week, there's not a lot of shows that we had to watch this week.
Yeah, no. Still a bunch of shows on hiatus. Are we finished? Or maybe it just are. We're just watching less, which is fine, really. I mean, I'm kind of not watched out. That's not the terms I want to use, but
no, I get it.
The cabin fever setting in again.
Yes, the cabin fever is a real thing. And, you know, we also had our first nor'easter, which, by the way, do you remember when that phrase used to mean something? Like, don't get me wrong.
When I think of a nor'easter, I automatically think of a big hell of a storm that's a foot and a half of snow on us and et cetera, et cetera. And maybe they just weren't. You know, it's like when you hear a blizzard doesn't have anything to do with the amount of snowfall. It's basically a winter hurricane.
Yeah.
It has to do with gusts and wind speeds and sustained wind speeds. That's what a blizzard makes. So you can have a blizzard and get 2 inches of snow.
Right.
If we have high winds, high sustained winds, but you know, a nor'easter used to mean, you know, you got a foot of snow dumped on you, but.
Oh, at least a foot. Like that was a baby nor'easter. Like it was a foot of snow with sleet and freezing rain mixed in there. And, you know, you hunkered down for days at a time.
Honestly,
was bad, but it wasn't bad. Like I was out there shoveling it the next day. We got bare ground now.
Well, yeah, honestly, I think if we had been all a snow event, because we had rain for a few hours and then snow, and then it switched to rain again for a couple hours and then back to snow. I think if it would have been a full snow event, no rain, all snow, we'd have a foot.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
But because of the rain and the snow mix and the rain, you know, we ended up with like, what, 3 inches, 4 inches?
Yeah. But and then we got more sleet on top of it.
And it did suck to shovel.
Oh, God, it was so friggin' heavy to shovel.
Yeah, my snowblower, and by the time I got out the next day, the ends of my driveways was just so hard compacted, the snowblower didn't even like going through it. And
yeah.
And then I pulled a boner and ran out of gas in the snowblower. And I thought, what had happened was, is when I pulled the snowblower out and made sure it ran, I thought I filled the tank on the snowblower, but what I did was emptied the gas can into the snowblower, which was only like a quarter of a tank, quarter of a gallon or something like that. Uh-huh. So it didn't last very long. So I had to hand shovel out the lower part of the driveway so I could drive the van out to go get gas for the snowblower.
Oh.
But I got my driveway all clean. It took about 3 hours. And that afternoon it was dry in some spots. And now, yeah, like you said, today it's all bare tar dry, which is but I'm fine with that.
Yeah. My plow guy came over the night that it was happening, but just to open up the ends of the driveway. And he was like, look, if I come through there, I'm going to rip up your yard. And happy.
Yeah, no, the plow guy that does my neighbor, he always swipes out kind of like the end of my driveway a little bit across her driveway and pushes it. Well, he came in so far this time, maybe it was a new guy, but there was a patch of grass that separated the top of my driveway and the top of her driveway, and it is completely gone. I mean, when I got up there to look at the snowblower, when I clearly moved it out with the shovel, I mean, there is like, you can see he wiped out like 3 inches of earth. Gone. Not just skim the top layer, just push that. So that's going to look like absolute dog shit.
Yep.
This summer.
And that's happened multiple times with my plow guy. But like every year he gets better at it. Like the first year he fucking destroyed the place. And then, you know, with each year he gets better. So that, like I said, this time he was like, look, I'm not coming in there. I'm going to rip up your yard. So, you know, it was a lot of shoveling and that heavy, wet snow. But at least the grass is saved for now. And then the ground's going to freeze up over the next, couple of weeks. And
exactly. Once the ground's frozen, it's fine. But the ground was all soft and saturated from the rain first. And then it was only right around the freezing mark. So it never got cold. So when that guy plowed, he just tore that right out. Yeah. Yeah. And then the plow guy that does the street, he's just terrible. They got some new guy last year, and he, like, in front of my house only is like an old 1950s section of sidewalk that they never replaced.
Yeah.
And last year he got too close to it and just tore a big chunk out of it. And this year, I guarantee you by summer, by spring, if this weekend storm is any sign of what's to come this winter, he's going to rip that entire sidewalk out with his plow. Because he fucking shook the house when he drove down. Drove by the house yesterday coming back down because he was just too close. Like, he was actually on top of the sidewalk and didn't realize it. So there's like a whole swath of snow in the road still that they have to come around and clean out because he went on top of the sidewalk, which is like a 6-inch drop from the sidewalk to the road. So sidewalk's clear in front of my house.
Pretty soon the sidewalk won't even be there anymore.
I mean, it won't be there much longer, but it's clear.
Did you get all the snow off the sidewalk? There is no snow on the sidewalk. Okay, so you got all the snow off? There is no snow on the sidewalk. If you can find the pieces of the sidewalk.
Yeah, there's no sidewalk for there to be snow on. So, but yeah. Good times all around. I don't know. We'll see. There's a section of earth between my driveway and the sidewalk that is not, it's large, but I'm afraid of what it's going to look like.
Oh.
Unless he figures out, this is where the road is. This is where the sidewalk is.
Oh, Jesus.
I banged my knee yesterday. Yesterday, cleaning the driveway. And it's just locking up on me today. because I'm old.
Why did you do that?
Oh, it was completely intentional. I wanted to be miserable for a few days. So I thought, oh, I'll just smash my knee right at this angle as hard as I can.
Yeah, there's better ways that you could do it, dude. I mean, like, the knee supports all of your weight. Do it to, like, your shoulder or something. Like, slam your shoulder into a doorway if you really want to be miserable. That way,
no,
at least you can still walk around. God, what a rookie move.
That's some terrible advice right there. So, all right, let's jump into some shows we watched, because that's what this is.
Yeah, allegedly. Kind of.
I finished Fargo.
Oh, good.
And I got to say, the season finale was just okay. It was weird. It was like, first of all, every episode this season was like 56 minutes plus, you know, like. Even the first episode was like an hour and 15 minutes. And that's with no commercials on Hulu. So, you know, with commercial time, it's taken up like that. That was an hour and a half of TV time, unless they didn't have any commercials on FX when they aired it. Like, every episode is basically borderline an hour long. You know, 56 minutes or an hour and 1 minute.
I remember that from the first
episode 11, which was one episode longer than normal. Usually they do 10 episodes, but they did 11 episodes this season. And episode 11 was 38 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. So they literally just wrapped everything up.
Like, that almost seems like cutting room floor stuff. Like, shit, we still got some extra stuff here. What do we do? Just throw it in there.
It's like, all right, what happened to this character? We killed them. What happened to this character? We killed them too. What happened to this character? Let's kill him. What about this character? You know, we'll let him come home and then we'll have him watch his father be murdered in front of him. Cool. I didn't dislike it by any means, and if they do a fourth season, yeah, I know.
Love it.
If they do a fifth season, I'll watch it. But yeah, that was it. So that's done. If I were to pick a favorite season of this show,
you please do.
I would have to go with the first season.
Okay.
Yep.
I did like the first season. I think that's the only one that I did watch all the way through.
Yeah, the first season was good, and then the third season was good.
Is that the one with Jesse Plemons?
Yep.
Then, naturally.
Yeah, and then the second season... No, Jesse Plemons was in the second season.
Oh, was he? But, okay.
Yeah, he was in... I think so. Yeah, he was in the second season.
Okay.
But I think I'm going to give the nod to season 3 because Mary Elizabeth Winstead's in it, and you see her bottom.
Yeah. That makes the whole season?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'd go season 1 first. And then, yeah, if I'm being honest, it would be season 2 and then 3 and then 4. So they actually came out in order of. So I guess they're getting progressively worse.
I was
going to
say, it sounds like they're getting worse. Yeah.
Yeah, Ewan McGregor played twins in the third season.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Allison, you're happy that it's
Allison
done?
Allison Pullman's in the first season. What?
You're happy that it's done.
Yeah. It was. I mean, it told its story. I guess that's the only way I'm going to say it. It told its story. Sure. It was a show that was on, and I watched it. I have no idea if they're going to do a season 5 or not.
Who knows?
I haven't heard anything.
Think about how many shows like are renewed. You know, yep, this is renewed. Oh, they're going to start shooting. Oh no, now it's been canceled because of COVID.
Yeah, that's why. Like, this was originally supposed to come out last April, but because of COVID, it was delayed till November. Yeah. So,
oy vey.
Or October, whatever it was. Yeah. Oh God, no, sorry. September came out in September. This is how it's going to be.
This is how it's going to be.
The Conners continues to be good.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, they are addressing. It's kind of they've gotten to the same pattern that Roseanne was in, which was kind of addressing life as a most relatable form of living your life, I guess, than a lot of other shows.
Okay.
Like How I Met Your Mother. There's a lot of slapsticky comedy stuff going on. It's not real realistic. I love the show. Yeah. Same thing with New Girl. Or even Friends, or, you know, a lot of those shows, which are all people love and enjoy. Even Scrubs, you know, a lot of slapsticky comedy stuff or wackiness of characters. And in Roseanne, there's some wackiness, but there's a much more level of relatability for the average person, if you will. Or now the Connors. So, did you watch anything that I don't want?
Yes, I watched the second episode of The Flight Attendant.
How's that?
It's really good. Like the previews don't tell you everything that's going on. And I don't want to spoil it, but I will say something that you see in the first episode and it continues in the second one is the guy that she wakes up next to in bed, you know, the one who's dead. She has these almost like mind palace things where she'll suddenly like the screen will, the aesthetic will turn kind of blue and she's talking to him. And he'll be like, why are you talking to me? I'm dead. And he'll be like, but think about it. What was going on that night? And she's like, I don't know. I was drinking so much. And he's like, well, remember what I said to you. So it's kind of interesting in that respect. It's not just a, you know, run of the mill. Is she going to get caught? Isn't she going to get caught? But the second episode did involve her getting questioned by some rather zealous federal agents. I'm really enjoying the show. There's a lot of little mysteries in the background. You know, some people who you're like, wait a minute, is there more to them that you don't realize? So, yeah, I'm definitely enjoying this. If you like a good mystery, I'm giving it a hard sell to anybody who's listening out there. Yeah, really liking it. And then let's see. I'm just looking at the other stuff that I watched. No, I think everything else is stuff that we watched together. Oh, I watched the third episode of Titans. And I will say this, this show is not selling me. Like, the third episode is called Origins, and I'm like, ooh, good, we're going to start getting some origins of these people. No. No. We get some Dick Grayson origin.
Yay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if we don't know that by now.
Well, not only that, but there was one scene in particular that made me stop and go, what the fuck are they trying to do here? And basically, he was rebelling against Bruce. So like the first night he ran away, you know, he jumped out off the balcony and landed in a tree and did a little trapeze thing and ran away and they caught him and sent him back. So the second time he stole a car. Now here's the thing. Gotham is supposed to be what Chicago is or New York. It's one of those giant cities.
Yeah.
So we see a scene of young Master Grayson screaming down the road in a Porsche. I assume it's a Porsche. I don't know cars. Screaming down the road in a Porsche, getting chased by two cop cars. Not a single other car on the road in either direction. And we get a nice big panning shot to show the entire length of this road through Gotham. This is not a highway. This is through Gotham. Not another car. Not another car parked. Not another car driving. Just him and these two cops. What the hell?
And it's kind of weird, yeah.
It felt cheap and stilted, and it felt like, what the hell are they trying to do here? Like, are they proving to us that their budget sucked? So, yeah, this show is not selling me.
Well, I can understand why. But real quick. So I was looking up I was just now looking up while you were talking, like, oh, yeah, last week they said that HBO Max would be coming to Roku soon.
Yeah, that they're working on it.
They're working on it. You know, this is going to be a thing. And I thought, I wonder if it's on Fire yet, if it's on Amazon yet.
I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah, November 17th, it launched on Amazon Fire.
Do you have a Fire Stick?
I have a Fire Stick.
Well, dude, you got to get on it.
I have a Fire Stick, and the reason why I have a Fire Stick is to watch New Japan World.
But hey, you have a Fire Stick.
So I have a Fire Stick.
Irrelevant.
I was just telling Kate tonight, once they get HBO Max on Roku, I'm going to get it. And she's like, oh, are you going to cancel another streaming service? I'm like, nah. Because we use Netflix too much. We use Hulu too much. And really, that's the only family ones. I mean, I have New Japan World I watch. I have WWE Network I watch. So, and realistically, I look at it like this, like, they just raised Netflix to $13.99. So $13.99 for Netflix, $12 for Hulu. That's $25.
Yeah.
Or $26 now. And then $15 for HBO Max. So you're looking at $41. It's still cheaper than cable.
Right.
Because WWE Network and New Japan World, I wouldn't be able to get with cable anyways. I couldn't get those with cable. And then Disney Plus, that's not even an argument. I paid for 3 years. I have almost 2 years left. Yeah. It's not even part of the discussion at this point.
So right now, I'm looking at HBO Max's website, and it says limited time, save over 20% for 6 months when you prepay. So your total discounted price is $69.99 plus applicable tax from December 3rd through January 15th. That's the time period when you can get this discount. That works out to $11.66 a month. Versus the $14.99 it normally is. And then, of course, afterwards.
Well, you know, what's better, though, is the fact that it was going to be $17.99 when they first announced it, and it's $14.99. So that's still $3 cheaper.
Correct.
Yeah, but I see it now. Yeah, if you prepay for 6 months, it ends up being $11 a month or whatever. Mm-hmm. No, a little bit more than 11 because it's $69.99. So that's $70. So 11 times 6 is 66. So it's about $12 a month.
Well, $11.66. So.
Yeah, which isn't a bad price. So, I'll probably be signing up for HBO Max here in the near future.
Outstanding.
If I'm gonna do, big news. Yeah, so just I didn't realize it was on Amazon Fire TV and Fire Sticks.
I knew that. I just didn't know that you had a Fire Stick. I didn't even think to ask because you have a Roku TV, so I didn't figure you had a Fire Stick. But
yeah, but I bought a Fire Stick last year at Christmas time to watch New Japan World because New Japan World doesn't have a Roku app. They only have a Fire TV app. So I bought it for that. Kate will be happy. She can watch all the Friends in the World.
Yeah. And you can watch season 2 of Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
You can watch the follow-up seasons of Titans if you care. There's The Flight Attendant. There's what's that one there? Lovecraft Country, which I haven't watched yet, but we could watch it simultaneously.
Wonder Woman 84.
Wonder Woman 4.
That's the draw. Yep. That's the draw for me because I at $11.66 a month, if you will, I would spend that on one ticket going to the theater to watch that.
Well, a little later on when we're talking news, I might have more of a draw for you, but
that'll be. I already know. We talked about that. I mean, we can just talk about it now while we're on the subject.
It's blown right up. Like, this has become a very hot button issue. Basically, HBO Max said, oh, by the way, every movie that's coming out, Warner Brothers said it. They said every movie for 2021 that is big budget and is coming out for us, which includes Suicide Squad, which includes Dune, Godzilla versus Kong, all of their big budget stuff will be on HBO Max at the same time that it is due in theaters.
Yep, for 31 days.
Yep. And then it'll leave HBO Max until it's time for it would normally come back, you know, the normal period after it's been in theaters and then it leaves. So that was huge news. And a huge selling point for HBO Max. I mean, good Lord, like everything that's coming out next year is going to be immediately on there. Like Wonder Woman is.
Don't forget the Snyder cut of Justice League.
Yeah. You can eat shit with that. but then of course, apparently this had some domino effect because, first off, some of the like Cinemark and AMC, their stocks took a huge hit.
As
HBO announced that, and they all kind of lost their shit, understandably so. I mean, AMC just had to sell off like 800,000 shares of its stock in order to mm-hmm. keep itself afloat. And they're all losing it. And they're like, look, we've got a vaccine coming. We've got multiple vaccines coming. Theaters are going to reopen. You can't do this to us. This is unprecedented, unheard of, blah. Like, they're losing their shit. You've got directors who are weighing in. Now, today I just saw something that said that Legendary Pictures, who does Dune and Godzilla versus Kong, are actually threatening to take legal action against Warner Brothers for this.
Really?
Yeah, so we could be seeing a lot more of this in the not too distant future.
Well, if they take legal action over Warner, it could prevent Warner from distributing it the way they want to.
Correct. Yeah. If it works.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I mean, look, they forced Tenet into theaters. Right, that was the big draw, you know, like, oh, Tenet's going to be in theaters.
Yep.
And going to do the direct to home thing or do the Disney Plus thing like Mulan or on and on and on, you know, Tenet, it's in theaters, you know, we have to, you know what I'm saying?
I do.
We got to get theaters to watch it. There we go. Sorry.
Yeah.
And so it hits theaters and, you know, it made money in theaters, if you will, but I didn't go see it. I literally do not know anyone that went and saw it.
No. And did you hear that just recently the sequel to The Croods? Yes, I said that right. The sequel to The Croods outperformed it at the box office.
Oh, wow.
Not like, oh, it scored more this weekend, as in like it has made more in the box office this year than Tenet made in the box office this year.
Well, Tenet's coming out. Like, there's a bunch of stuff coming to Redbox on December 22nd. Mm. Tenet's one of them.
Nice.
So I plan on watching that. Yeah, I plan on watching that.
I do as well.
I am going to watch Tenet, you know, like I do want to see it. I just wasn't going to go to theaters to see it. So speaking of theaters real quick, I want to mention this. So Pride's Corner Drive-In, I talk about it a lot here on the show. It
almost like they're a sponsor.
I know. Their final weekend is this coming weekend, the 12th.
Yep.
Saturday the 12th is their last show, and their last show is a free show. It's going to be It's a Wonderful Life. So we're going. The wife and I are going.
Yep. And I'm going with my girlfriend because apparently it's her favorite Christmas movie ever.
Nice, nice. Get to see it at the drive-in. It's going to be a little chilly. They're like, you know, I was like, bring blankets. It's going to be cold.
Damn,
you cannot run your vehicle the entire time. Although yeah, I have seen people run their vehicle the entire time in the summer with the air conditioning on. So, I mean, can't tell me people don't.
Oh, you know they're going to.
Oh, yeah. And here's the other thing. Which kind of sucks. You got to crack your windows a little bit, even though it's cold out, to keep you from steaming them up.
What are you trying to say, Mike?
Your vehicle.
I feel targeted here. Are you saying something?
I'm not pointing fingers at you directly. I'm saying in general.
You said that I have to crack my windows. I mean,
I didn't say you specifically. I said you as in general people. You. Oh, anyways, okay. Stop being the victim. Stop making yourself a victim. Anyways, but they made mention that it's the first December that they've been open into December since 1974.
Damn.
First year they've been open through into December since 1974. So I thought that was interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And this is the best year they've had in years. And I mean, they're doing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They're doing a Die Hard because it's a Christmas movie,
which is awesome.
And then, yeah. And then last Thursday they did Evil Dead, and I guess they had a great turnout. So,
yeah.
Anyway, did you watch The Unicorn?
I did.
What'd you think of it?
I'm glad that they're still letting him explore this relationship with her.
Yep.
I felt the cringe when he showed up at her door with the key lime tree.
Yeah.
Because basically, you know, his daughter cyberstalked her and found out when her birthday was, and it was coming right up. So
yep.
he he was like, oh, I'll get her, you know, I like gardening and she likes food, so I'll get her a key lime plant. That's great. And, you know, it's something we could share. And she told him, she was like, I don't like to do anything for my birthday. I just, it's low key. I don't want to celebrate. And he's like, okay. So he decided to be nice and show up at her door. And
yeah.
When he did, there's a party going on inside. There's like a dozen people. And they're all, woo, yeah, all right, woo. And so he felt a little put out. You know, that she lied to him, that she was embarrassed by him, didn't mm-hmm. want him around. And but it turns out that wasn't the case. It's that her friends are crazy and they're drunk. And she knew that they were going to be crazy and drunk and didn't want to expose him to that this early because, you know, nobody wants to meet your friends at their worst.
Right.
Especially early on in a relationship. You don't want to be like, OK, this is your first time meeting my friends and here they are at their absolute shittiest. So it turns out that she can't stop talking about him. She calls for him and all of her friends know that. So she was like, I was protecting you from them. So
on the other side of the spectrum, we got Delia and I can't think of her husband's name. Rob Cogdry's character there.
Yep.
They're dealing with they're dealing with their self-perceived white privilege.
Oh Jesus!
Yes, exactly. I really like how the show Forrest.
Yes,
his name is
not Forrest. River, but Forrest.
Forrest, there you go. Yeah, exactly. But I really like Michelle and Ben how they handle it because so Forrest brings it's the oldest it's their old Michelle and Ben's daughter, oldest daughter's birthday. And so he brings a present for the other three kids because he got bit on the nose last time when he only brought one present with him. So I can't do that. I got to make sure I bring everyone one. And he just mm-hmm. gives the oldest son who's 11 like a neon blue water gun. And Ben's like, now I got to take that away from him. And Forrest's like, why? It doesn't even look like a real gun. It's neon blue. He's like, it's not the color of my gun. It's the color of my son's skin.
Yeah.
And he was just like, oh. And it's just, you know, him and Wade talk about it. And Wade's like, yeah, you know, Ben won't even go anywhere without his ID because in case he gets stopped and this and that and everything and not even go for a walk down the street. And so, of course, you know, Forrest and Delia feel guilty about it. And they want to try to talk to Ben and Michelle about it. And Michelle just doesn't want to talk about it. And finally, Ben says, like, stop trying to make me feel guilty that you feel guilty.
Right.
You know, I got my own stuff to deal with. I can't deal with feeling bad because feeling bad because you feel bad. I can't remember the exact wording that they used, but I thought it was handled well.
It was. Yeah. He was basically saying it, and it was very similar to what they did on This Is Us with, I'm going to say Kevin. Yeah. You know. Kate yes. and Randall talking, and Randall's like, you know, yeah, don't be throwing your guilt on me.
Yeah. It was funny but I also like Forrest's honesty with Ben when he's like, well, I didn't think you had to deal with that because why? Because you're my friend, so I never considered you had to deal with that. You know, I was just like, oh, so only black people that are friends with you don't have to deal with this. Apparently, that's what I'm saying. I'm sorry. You know, like. Like his realization of like, well, apparently that's what I just said, you know, like he doesn't try to like, go, oh, no, that's not what I meant. He's just like, no, apparently that's what I mean, because that's what I just said.
I like how the two of them are trying to work it out. Michelle's like standing over there, you know, clearly listening, but pretending she's not. And then finally goes, OK, I couldn't happen over here. You know what? I was just eavesdropping and I want to tell you exactly this is how it's going to do. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was good. I thought it was. I just enjoy the show.
Quite a bit, actually.
That's got like a 2 week hiatus.
Yep.
It's not on next week. It doesn't come back to the 17th. Excuse me. We watched episode 6 of Truth Seekers. What'd you think of this?
Again, it's. I have to go with the generic, I really enjoy this show, but it's still not giving us a lot. Like, it gave us a little bit more this week.
Yeah.
You know, we got to see the What's his face there? I can't remember. The one who basically implanted all of their eyeballs with the little tracking.
Yes. Man. Yeah. Yeah. That doctor.
Yeah. He's pissed that they fixed the Wi-Fi at that hotel, you know, where they basically got rid of the ghost kid in the machine.
Yes.
Like he is, it seems that the, it seems whatever he's planning runs counter to what Smile is planning. And
yes.
So we've got two different factions or groups or whatever that are both opposed to each other in this respect. So it's interesting, but again, they're not really giving us a lot. Like, I don't know. What'd you think?
Well, okay. So this episode, they're at the insane asylum where they're supposed because to bring this up. Because insane
asylums are awesome.
Yeah, they are. And so they've decided at the same time to test out the live stream because Gus bought some body cameras. And so it's him and Astrid and Elton, and, you know, and they're going to go into the asylum. And you have Emily and Richard, or Emily or Richard and Helen or whatever. Sorry, Richard and Helen back at Gus's house where they're monitoring the live stream while they test it all. And you have this, like, weird moment where Richard and Helen are talking and everyone can hear them, but they can't hear the other people for some reason, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where Richard and Helen are talking about Emily and Gus and essentially like what happened. And or I guess they can hear them because they are talking back to, but I don't know. They're just really talking.
They can hear them.
Yeah. But they're talking back to him as well, because, or maybe he's just talking out loud when he says some of the stuff he says, because it's really odd
and how kind
of emotionally open they were talking on this show.
Well, that's the thing is, like, both of those characters, like the sister and what's his name there, Malcolm McDowell, those two are. They're almost like Sheldon Cooper-ish, you know, they just basically very blunt and very matter of fact. And so, yeah. I wasn't surprised at all when he was just like, oh, yeah, she died. I'm not really his dad. I was her dad.
Yes. He's like, and he's
why
like,
does he still call you dad? Oh, well, I've called him dad for 20 years. I'm not going to stop now.
Exactly. Yeah. And she died in a car crash. You find out how she died in a car crash, you know.
Yep.
And then we find out why Elton and his sister are kind of estranged with each other a little bit. It has to do with the attention that she was given and he felt kind of ignored and left out and everything. And so we have a lot of like that talking going on. And then we have. Then
did I lose you?
No, I lost you.
Oh. Yeah, I was just going to say, then they explore and they go deeper into the asylum.
Yeah, and they find down in the basement back in, I think it was like 1860s, this woman got executed because she murdered 12 men or 13 men, whatever it was. And she apparently has the book. And she's trying to recite some passage so she can possess the doctor who's going to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently they execute her before she can finish, or her soul gets trapped in a rag doll.
Little doll, yeah.
Yeah, and a rag doll who's apparently stuck there forever until she starts talking to Gus and basically telling Gus, like, and basically tells him that everyone's lying to you. No one's telling you the truth. They lied to you about your wife. Elton's not being truthful with you, et cetera, et cetera. But they can't hear any of this because he's somehow out of range. But then they all find him and everyone gets out fine. I thought the land developer who was developing the asylum into apartments, he was a different fellow, don't you think?
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, a little interesting.
Yeah, he basically is waiting in the vehicle for them to finish up, and he is literally watching porn on his phone and masturbating.
And doesn't even get bothered.
No, then Elton goes over and knocks on the window to ask him a question. He rolls his window and goes, "What are you doing? I'm trying to have a wank."
Yeah.
Yank or whatever.
Elton's like, well, are you sure there's no other, you know, parts of this asylum? No, there's not. Well, I think Gus found a place down there that's extra. Do you think we could convert it into another apartment?
Yeah. How big's the room?
Yeah.
So they go in with him.
It pulls the window back up. Like.
Yeah. So he heads in with them, and the doll there, everyone leaves and he stays behind, and the doll possesses him and then forces him to kill himself with one of those tortured fork things that you stick, you tie around your neck, it goes under your chin and on your chest.
Yeah, wasn't that
heretic
creepy?
Fork?
Oh.
Yeah. So, and then Gus, you know, he finds an old magazine and he finds out that Elton could be the most haunted boy in the country. And he's like somehow in the background of a photo of him and his wife.
Yeah. Well, he's in a lot of different, like he was present at a number of different like tragedies. And then, yeah, like you said, he's in the background of that photo and oof.
So, I don't know. We got two more episodes.
Are we just going
to
burn them?
I almost think we should just, yeah, we should just watch them both back to back, side by each, however you want to call it.
Works for me.
Yep.
What about Queen's Gambit?
So, this is the episode where she's in Paris, right?
Yes, we finally catch up to the opening scene.
Yes, so we see her and Benny in New York, and she gets her money back for playing speed chess.
And why is she playing well?
Because she's sober.
Yes.
Yeah, he sobers her up, gets her off the pills, gets her off alcohol. They start becoming lovers. And then they play some speed chess one night, and she meets these two fellas come over, and this girl, this French girl, who's just fascinated by watching them play, but she doesn't know how. And she comes into play later on when she goes to Paris, and she stays sober the whole time. She's doing great, and then the night before the last day, that girl calls her and is like, "Hey, come down and have a drink with me." And she's like, I can't. And then she's like, oh, come on. Okay, I will. And then gets drunk off her ass, apparently sleeps with her, and then is late to her match because she's still sleeping it off. And, yeah. Loses
hardcore. And, again, like you said, you know, when she gets up, she's hungover, and she pops a couple of pills, so she's back on her old track. And
yep.
Completely fucks up. Keeps drinking water and drinking water and drinking water, and it's not helping.
No. And at the press conference before the final match, you know, does kind of tip her hand that she understands Russian, and she repeats some of the comments that Soviet person had made in the elevator in Mexico. So he realizes, oh, she could understand me. And then she does speak a sentence in Russian at the end to kind of drill home her point. But that's like the first half of the episode. The second half of the episode is her back in Kentucky, isn't it? Just getting trashed.
Yep.
For months and months and months.
Yeah. You
know, her biological, her adopted father shows up, and instead of like where he had previously said he'd give her the house, now he's like, no, I need the money. I need to sell it. So she's like, well, I'll buy it then. So she buys the house from him. She's supposed to go to the state tournament, but she's too drunk and fucked up to be able to go. But she shows up anyways, and then she leaves, and Harry shows up, and basically it's just like, hey, I'm worried about you. My dad was an alcoholic. You have drinking issues. You need to get help. And she's basically like, yep, whatever. Like pretty much any addict, you know, you can't force them to get help. They have to want to get help. They have to want to make the change. She doesn't want it.
No, she doesn't. Even though, like, again, her logical brain should kick in. She should be saying, when I was sober, I was doing great.
Yep.
But she can't see that right now.
But there's the episode ends when Jolene shows up. So I thought that was cool. Her friend from the orphanage.
Yep.
But we don't know why she's there. She's just there. So I think we only got a couple episodes left to that one as well.
Two or three. I can't remember. It's two or three episodes that we have left.
If it's two episodes, I'd be apt to say, let's watch and we can get it done. If it's three episodes, then I'm going to say no to that. Let's see. We just watched. Oh, no. We just watched episode six. There's only one episode left.
Oh. Okay.
So yeah, we just have episode seven, the final episode.
So should we blow through the final episode?
I think we should just watch that final episode, yeah.
So I found this today. It's very interesting. I wanted to share it with you. The thing was called the Netflix effect.
Yeah.
And this is what it says. On October 23rd, 2020, Queen's Gambit debuted on Netflix. To date, okay, so since October 23rd, 62 million households have watched the show.
Holy cow.
Inquiries for chess sets are up 250% on eBay. That's just eBay.
Yep.
Google search inquiries for how to play chess have hit an all-time high in 9 years. The original novel, The Queen's Gambit, is now a New York Times bestseller 37 years after its release. And the number of new players on chess.com has grown 5 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, Kate. So,
what?
John was just telling me that the Queen's Gambit, it's been viewed since October 23rd, 62 million times on Netflix.
62 million households.
Sorry, 62 million households. So that's a huge rating number. Also, searches for how to play chess, which is up 200%.
It's up higher than the past 9 years.
Oh, higher than the past 9 years. Searches for chess sets on eBay is up 200%.
250%.
250%. And the book that came out 37 years ago is now a New York Times bestseller because everyone's buying it. Like, that's so crazy. I don't know. She goes, I hope that author is still alive. Here and no, he died the year after the book came out.
Okay, so you know,
yeah, but he was only 56. We'll get it. Oh, holy shit!
What?
Okay, maybe this is why it's so good. He wrote The Hustler.
Oh,
The Color of Money, and The Man Who Fell to Earth.
Oh wow!
Okay. Like, holy shit!
Well, then.
Let's see here. Yeah, he also wrote Mockingbird. And, yeah, The Color of Money was his last book, and The Steps of the Sun. And then he wrote a shit ton of short stories. Holy cow. I didn't realize that. Well, there you go. He's a good writer. All right. Anyhow, Hellstrom. Boy, I look forward to this being over.
Well, there's only two episodes left, so
we should just finish it.
Yep.
Honestly, I don't even care about it anymore. I'm just kind of watching it to finish it.
They had a nice standoff scene, you know, kind of building on what you were talking about last week with, you know, which one of the two, the brother sister is going to end up being evil one. You know, we had a nice juxtaposition there where Anna actually smothered her mother she smothered her mom so that she would die and mother would leave her body and escape out into the world, which is dangerous. But then they were able to resuscitate her mother, which, by the way, were you watching that and watching them pound on her chest and going, it's been too long.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Damon went into a obvious ambush from the blood and they had that knife and he basically strung them all up. Oh, no, this was... the knife was the one before that. This was the one where they all like ambushed him in a barn, and he had them like he was telekinetically holding up like five or six of them with nooses around their necks and ladders underneath them. But then he moved all the ladders and was basically holding them up in the air. And Gabriella's like, you know, no, don't do it. Don't do it. And he called out the leader and she walked out there and he was like, you know, if you walk away now, I'll let them all have their lives. She's like, nope, they're not worth it.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, did you hear what she just said, guys?
Yeah.
Your lives are not worth it.
And then he let them all live.
Her goal is to kill me at all costs, even at your own. So you're worth, you know, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. And he, yeah, but I forgive you and you're all forgiven. And so.
And then right at the end, we get what we didn't need, what we did not need at all in this series. And I that is
so dumb.
Gabriella reaches up and feels the scratch from where the priest marked her, and now she is the new host of Mother.
Oh, and don't forget that Gaming gets possessed. Gabriella puts Bazaar, you know, his spine or whatever, on Damon's spine. That's him. And then the last scene of the episode is them having the sex.
Yep. Yep. And we've got two episodes left.
So I almost feel like let's just watch these two dumb episodes and get them over with.
So now we're going to watch the last two Truth Seekers, the last two Hellstrom, and Queen's Gambit.
Yeah, we're going to finish up three of our six shows.
Oh, boy. And you finished up Fargo last week, so you don't have that one. I finished up
Fargo, yep. Yep. So, oh, well. It is what it is.
Yeah. Until it isn't what it isn't.
I wonder when the Connors is going to be done for the season. Or if they're going to go on hiatus. Because we're also reaching that mid-season hiatus time for a lot of shows.
Yeah, I'm surprised we haven't hit
Connors
it for a
long. Connors will be on this week. Okay. The 11th. And then comes back in January.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Hold on. That was season one. Yeah. It'll be on this week, the 10th, and then it comes back in January. So this will be the last, yeah. That show, I'll be finishing that one up this week. I watched the last episode. I was holding out for you, but I watched the last episode of Criminal UK.
Oh, yeah? How was
it?
I'm not upset then.
You know what? This whole season hasn't. The first episode was decent. The second episode was them. I'm just going to blow it for you because fuck it. Was them interrogating an innocent man. Because I'm watching this and I'm just like, wait a second. Like these interrogators that they have on the show, they all think they're so great and so smart and they all do such great things. You know, like what if they were wrong?
Right.
How are people never wrong on the show? Like,
right.
You know, they always get the right person. They always get the upper hand, et cetera, et cetera. Well, in this case, they were wrong. This guy was arrested at his office because of false accusations, and they proved the accusations were false, and they kicked him loose. And he demanded an apology because you've already and basically the interrogator was just smug and was like, look, I'm just doing my job. No. You came to my job to arrest me. You made a point of arresting me in my job. Are you going to come to my job now and apologize to me in front of everybody and let them all know that I was falsely arrested so my reputation's restored? Because my reputation was ruined the second you walked into my office. And, you know, and he's right. Like, it was Rob Stark, by the way. Or no, not Rob Stark. The bastard. Jon Snow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was Jon Snow. Like, he... That actor, I can't think of his name, Kit Harington or whatever.
Yep, you got it.
Him and right, like that's exactly what I mean. It was just, I don't know. And then I watched the last episode, and again, it's like the interrogators are smug know-it-alls and they're never wrong. And again, it was another episode where they were wrong, where they were making mountains out of molehills. You know what I mean? It was just. I don't know. It was the first season was good. This season, no.
Okay.
Then I'm not first two seasons are good. Yeah. So To me, it's just not, I'll just say it, not worth your time.
Okay. Then I'm not going to bother with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the only other show we have to talk about is Mandalorian.
Well, I watched, they did have a new episode of Family Guy on the other night. Yeah. It was okay. I watched Animaniacs. That was a show.
Yeah, I'm done. I took it out of my list after last week's episode.
Did you watch the first episode of season 4 of Big Mouth?
Oh, yes, I did. They go to summer camp. Yes.
Yeah. I loved the recap. I actually watched the episode twice because the first time I fell asleep right towards the end. It was one of those nights where you don't even realize it and you just like nod off.
Yep.
Not that you know anything about that. but yeah, the basically they did an awesome recap in the beginning where they point out the fact that they're doing a recap and they say things like, you know, you've got a lot of shows that you're watching. There's shows on everywhere. And they say, you know, time has passed and blah, blah, blah. So it's nice that they acknowledged it and talked about what was going on. So we got basically the first transgender.
Yep.
We had Gabe, who spent some time with them last summer and is now Natalie.
Yep.
And I really appreciated the fact that they didn't go with like Gabe into Gabina or something like that.
Right.
Like, this was a whole new identity. And, I gotta say, like, I don't even want to fully spoil this show because it just came out on Friday, but I love this show. It's so good. And, the new breakout star this season is going to be the Anxiety Mosquito. And we've already been seeing that.
Yes.
It's Maria Bamford, and yeah, loving it.
So, essentially, like you said, we have a transgender camper.
Yep.
And that's handled the way it's handled. It's handled well on one aspect, been horrible on another aspect. So they're giving you the both sides of how this how the situation is handled by adults or whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? Like they show us the complete wrong way to handle.
John someone, Oliver as the yes. camp counselor who basically
was just
is like
I'm going to open the floor to you guys questioning any question you want because that seems like a reasonable thing to do. No, yeah. No, it's not.
Oh my god! And then you didn't bother to read through the detailed letter that my mother sent.
Yeah. So, but these are the titles of the episodes coming up. By the way, episode 2, the hugest period ever. Episode 3 is poop madness, and then we have cafeteria girls. A very special 9/11 episode, which seems wrong.
Yeah.
Nick Starr. 4 stories about hand stuff. Funeral. Horrority house. And then what are you going to do? So.
I'm still looking forward to this. And I'm looking forward to doing one episode at a time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which next week, it'll be out long enough that we can just talk about it in general. But yeah, where it's only been a couple of days, we'll hold off a little bit. I watched the movies that made us.
The Die Christmas Hard movies that made holding us? Up.
I watched one of those as well. But the movies that made us, we watched the Die Hard episode. We had been holding off to watch Die Hard first.
Nice. So,
we watched the Die Hard episode. I still have the Ghostbusters one to watch. This is just a great show. Like, they do such a damn good job on these little, 50-minute documentaries about the making of the movie. And it was really cool. Have you seen it yet?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. It's just really, really cool. Really well done. The Elf one. I forgot. Okay, so we watched the movies that made us Elf. Jon Favreau directed Elf. I forgot about that.
That was the first of 2 episodes that are the holiday movies that made us.
Yes. The second one is Nightmare Before Christmas, which I'll get to that in a minute. So we watched the Elf episode. Have you watched that one yet?
I have.
Okay.
I watched both of them, actually.
I thought that was fantastic. The behind the story about the making of Elf, like, because we're watching, the movie came out in 2000. We forget that Jon Favreau was the director. That was really kind of his directorial debut of a big movie, if you will. He never really hadn't done anything before that. And then, Jon Favreau now is responsible for The Mandalorian. He has his big hand in Iron Man, Avengers. He's in the MCU. He's done so much since then that you forget this was his first thing. Same thing with Will Ferrell. Like, Will Ferrell, this was really, you know, like, no one saw him as a good leading man. And he really hadn't been the lead in a movie before. Old School came out right before this did, so he kind of blew up with this Frank the Tank bit. But otherwise, he just was a Saturday Night Live guy. Yep. So it's always funny to me, looking back, because for 20 years they've been there, been famous, if you will, or, you know, top of their craft, if you will. But I thought the Elf one was fantastic as well. We did not watch The Nightmare Before Christmas because I had never seen The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Neither have I.
Kate thought that was inappropriate and I should watch the movie. So we put it up on Disney Plus, and we got about halfway through and I was like, I give two shits about this movie. It is dumb. It came out when I was 14. So you were 18 or whatever, around that time. And it just, not the movie for me. It wasn't in my wheelhouse when it came out. I never liked the trailer. I never cared about watching it. I didn't realize the song This Is Halloween comes from the movie, by the way. But watching the movie, I'm like, this isn't good. Why do people like this? This is not good. This is terrible.
I'll be interested to hear your thoughts once you've watched the movies that made us for that one, because there's an awful lot of controversy around that. Whereas, like, with Elf, I love this episode.
I did too.
Watching about Elf, you know, thinking things like the fact that Favreau had only directed one movie up until that point, and he was just an actor. And they were like, why would you want to bring him in? They're like, well, I think he could do something. His three tenets that he said, you know, if we're going to do this, it has to be these three things. Mm-hmm. Loved it. Loved the fact that they fought back against the studio on the things they wanted. Like, the studio wanted Chris Farley, and they were like, no, that'll make it a whole different movie. Or the studio wanted Zooey Deschanel's character to be a streetwalker, and they're like, no, that's not the story we're trying to tell.
Exactly, yeah.
The fact that this, head of the store security there was wearing the Wanda name tag.
Yes, Kate, that was hilarious. Well, we had written Wanda Sykes for her. She was going to be perfect for it. And then she had to pull out last minute. So we got this guy to fill it in, but we'd even made the Wanda name tag up. So right. They just wore it. Yeah. I'm going to watch The Night Before Christmas, the making of, for, you know, the movies that made, holiday movies that made us, but I'm not going to finish the movie. I don't care enough to.
No, there's a reason that over these years, I know everything about that movie. I don't think that I need to see it. It's like Titanic, you know?
I saw that in theaters.
Yeah, you did.
Fuck. Yeah, that was rough. Oof. We're obviously not going to talk about The Mandalorian now. Did you watch any movies?
I did.
How many did you watch?
I watched four. Well, no, I'm sorry. I watched three because I counted the Christmas movies that made us as one movie, but I watched three movies.
I watched nine. How about you?
Start talking.
Well, I guess I'll start with, I'm calling one a movie, but it's not. I watched with my kids. We watched a lot of Christmas specials over the weekend, like the Prep and Landing, and then Prep and Landing Naughty versus Nice, Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas, and Twice Upon a Christmas.
What is Prep and Landing?
Prep and Landing. It's the Christmas elves. It's Disney. It's on Disney Plus. It was on NBC when it first aired, but it's a half hour holiday, 20-minute holiday special with the Christmas elves. And Prep and Landing, that's their job. They work for Santa Claus, and their job is Prep and Landing. So they get to the house before Santa does, and they make sure the stockings are open, that everyone's asleep, that the tree's trimmed enough to fit the present underneath, that the milk's the right temperature, there's no nuts in the cookies, the dogs are out, you know, and they're like little secret agents, but they're elves, to prep the house for Santa to show up, you know, that way – that they Santa needs help going to all these houses all night. And there's also the coal patrol, which is the elves that go in and, you know, double check the people are on the naughty list or the nice list. It's pretty neat. It's a neat special. I like them a lot. you should check them out. They're on Disney Plus. They're just, I mean, you could watch both of them and spend 45 minutes of your time watching them and you wouldn't regret it.
Okay.
Dave Foley. You know who that is?
I definitely know who Dave Foley is.
He voices one of the characters. One of the main characters. So we watched those. And then, like I said, Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas and Twice Upon a Christmas, which is, they're both about 80 minutes long, and they have various Disney shorts, and they're all new ones of different Christmas tales, like teenage Max coming home with his girlfriend to meet Goofy for the first time. And we watched Charlie Brown's Christmas and Garfield's Christmas. But I watched the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special.
Oh, I did not watch that.
Okay, we will not talk about it.
Okay.
But you should go watch it.
Yeah, because I wanted to wait until a little closer to Christmas.
Yep.
So I might do it this coming week.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
Yeah, it's decent. It's your very typical Lego Star Wars movie. You know what I mean? Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So the same kind of goofy humor and
exactly, yes.
Breaking bricks and
yep. You know, you saw the trailer. Ray travels through time on Life Day. Yeah. So. Oh, let's see. What else? What else? What else? What else? Okay. We watched the animated version of The Grinch with Benedict Cumberbatch as the voice of The Grinch.
Oh yeah, how's that?
You haven't seen it yet?
Nope.
It's really good. The Jim Carrey one, I never liked. I thought that was terrible. And of course, the original Grinch is always going to be great. But this is really well done. It's really, really good. I give it a hard sell as a worthy of your watch.
Okay.
My son in film class, he has film class Friday last period, and they are not last period. And they had to watch a comedy Christmas movie, and then they had to, anyways, as part of their class. So they gave him a list to pick stuff out, and Kanan wanted to do something. He's like, "Or if you have something of your own, you can pick." And we watched Ernest Saves Christmas for Kanan's comedy holiday film.
Love it.
I looked at Kanan. I was like, "What about Ernest Saves Christmas? Like, do we have that?" I'm like, "Of course we have that. We have the Ernest collection. We have Ernest Saves Christmas, Ernest Scared Stupid, Ernest Goes to Camp, and then Ernest Goes to Jail." So, let's see. I watched Rocky 2, 3, 5, and 6.
2, 3, 5, and 6. So what about 1? Well, 1 you watched the other day with Kate because she had never seen it.
Yep.
And why'd you skip 4?
Because I really wanted to watch 5. And 4 was the one I'd seen the most growing up. And realistically, when you think about it, Rocky 1 and Rocky 2 has parts you may forget, you know. Mm-hmm. Rocky 3 may have parts you may forget, little nuancey things. You know, like I'd kind of forgotten in Rocky 2 about him going to do the commercial shoots and him sucking and everything. I just remember he beats Apollo Creed for the title at the end of the movie, you know.
Okay.
And that his son's born and, you know, there's birthing complications. Rocky 3, you know, that one you pretty much remember, but that's just a really good flick I hadn't seen in quite a while. You know, we have the montage, the fights at the beginning, and then he loses, then he fights Thunderlips, Hulk Hogan, and then he loses to Clubber Lang, and then Mick dies, and then he powers back, and he trains again.
Freeze frame.
And then he beats Clubber Lang, and he wins, you know, regains the title, and I mean, it's the shortest Rocky movie, an hour and 44 minutes with credits, and there's a fucking lot that goes on in it as far as, you know, him. And then Rocky 4 is just Russian shows up, kills Apollo. He goes to Russia, trains, and then beats the Russian. Like, it's the most basic of all the Rocky movies.
Oh, yeah. And it was really playing up to the Cold War at the time.
It really was. It really, really was. So I was like, eh. I mean, I might go back and watch it at some point, but I really, and Kanan hadn't watched Rocky 5. He didn't even know there was a Rocky 5. He'd seen 1-4 before. So I was like, we got to watch 5. And he's like, well, does he box in Rocky 5? I'm like, I just turned the movie on. Don't you fucking hate it when someone asks you a question about the movie you're going to watch when you've just turned it on?
Yes.
Or while you're watching the movie, they ask you a question about the movie and it's like,
oh my God, is that guy going to die?
Yeah. I don't know. Watch the movie.
Yeah.
that means he is. No, it means I'm not going to tell you and watch the fucking movie.
Yeah, drives me insane.
And then Rocky V got over, and I was like, I might as well watch Rocky VI. So I'll probably go back and watch Rocky IV later this week. But at the time, I just, you know, didn't need to.
Yep.
And then I watched two new-to-me movies. So what about you? What did you watch for your three films?
One of them that I watched was Run.
Oh, okay.
That one on Hulu.
Yep. And?
I will give it this. There's a bit more to it than the previews will let you understand.
Okay. Yep.
I was still very glad when it was over and said, okay, now I'm done watching that.
See, that doesn't motivate me to want to watch it.
No. It was almost a Lifetime movie.
Oh. Boo.
Yeah.
Boo. All right. What's another movie you watched?
Well, right after that, it was because that was on Hulu. Hold on. I should just go back and say, if nobody's seen the preview for this, Run is the one where basically there's a girl in a wheelchair and her mother is it, from the previews. It looks like Munchausen's by proxy. She's basically, you know, trying to control her daughter. And there's more to it than that. It's almost got a little Misery going in it.
Yep.
Where the daughter is.
Yeah, that's the vibe I got.
Yeah. And a lot of close scrapes and a lot of jump scare type things. And yeah. So there, okay. Now everybody knows. It was like, oh, you're watching this on Hulu. The next one up is Bombshell. And I'm like, oh, I kind of wanted to see that one. And this is the one with Charlize Theron and Nicole Kidman and Margot Robbie. And they're all playing. This is supposed to be a recreation essentially of how Roger Ailes got fired from Fox News around the time that Trump was elected.
Yeah.
And now I had watched that miniseries event a while back that did a much better job of explaining all of this. This was a movie, so it was very condensed. But yeah, it was still very decent. They had some big name actors in this, you know, you'd be like, Oh, it's him. And
yeah,
so I could recommend it to give it a watch, you know, if you're interested in how the most powerful man in Fox News was taken down by women. But he was a friggin' pig and really like you've heard of sexual harassment in the workplace. This guy redefined it. I mean, it was bad. So,
yeah, you know what? I don't think I do want to watch it. I don't need that type of, I just don't need that, quite frankly. I watched two movies on Shudder.
Okay.
I watched, one was called All the Creatures Were Stirring, and it's sort of a sci-fi horror-ish anthology. Okay. It's a Shudder exclusive. It was decent.
Okay.
I wouldn't give it a hard sell, but I'd say, you know, it's worth a watch. The best part about it is you can watch like it in parts because you can watch, you know, a couple of the anthology stories and then take a break or shut it off and finish it the next day like I did. And you don't lose any step on anything.
Okay.
It was kind of something I had on in the background to have on in the background. And it didn't capture my attention as much as like I didn't find myself stopping what I was doing to watch it. I just kind of it was on and it was decent.
Okay.
Then I watched another Shudder original called Better Watch Out.
I'm sensing a theme here.
No. This I put on as a background flick just to have something on my tablet while I was working. And I found myself just sitting and staring at my tablet. It is a 12 year, it's one of those movies where you have a 12-year-old who has a babysitter. Come over because mom and dad are going to the movies for the night and they're going to be out late. And he's kind of in love with his babysitter. And, you know, so there's the setup. And it's like, oh, it sounds like the movie The Babysitter, except it's not. And they start getting weird phone calls at the house and someone outside the house. So that's kind of the plot. And it takes a pretty – it's so I thought it was just going to be your kind of stereotypical, you know, babysitter harassment movie, if you will. You know what I mean?
Yep, I know what you mean.
Okay, but instead, it really wasn't that at all. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. And it's definitely worth your time. It's different. That's why. I think that's what stuck out to me so much is because it was different. It wasn't stereotypical. I did not see the twist coming, if you will, or what was really going on. And then I kind of got sucked into it.
Okay.
You know, there's a couple eye rollers here and there in it, but it's good. I enjoyed it.
Now, was it a Shudder original, or was it something that, you know, was originally out for something else?
It's either a Shudder original or a Shudder exclusive.
Okay.
You don't have Shudder anymore, do you? Because you canceled
it. I do not.
You know what? I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
In case there's anyone here that wants to go watch it.
Okay.
Yeah. And what was the last movie you watched?
The last movie that I watched was Mulan.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can't talk about that because I am going to watch that most likely this week.
Okay.
Then it's on Disney Plus now, and that is something I am most... Was it good?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, you can tell me if it was good or not, if you liked it or not. That doesn't give it away.
No. I don't want to give it away. I don't want to cloud your judgment going into it. Because if I say it was good, then you've got an expectation. If I say it was bad, you've got an expectation. So
okay. All right. Fair enough.
So what else was on your list?
That's it. That's all my movies.
Okay.
Well, because, you know, half of them or four of them were Rocky. So.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So trailers and news?
Trailers and or news. Well, the big news thing we already talked about, the HBO Max.
Yes.
I sent you a trailer.
You sent me a few trailers.
I sent you a trailer tonight for Transformers War for Cybertron trilogy, Earthrise.
Yes. Oh, God, this looks good.
Yeah, it looks great. It really does look great.
It looks like they're pulling directly from Transformers the movie in a number of places.
Yes, I saw that as well.
I saw Unicron. I saw Galvatron. It looked like somebody opening up the Matrix of Leadership.
Yep. So that's pretty damn cool, realistically. I only sent you that. I only sent you two trailers, that one and then A Recipe for Seduction.
Incorrect, but go ahead. Tell me about A Recipe for Seduction, because that is
so A Recipe for Seduction. I see this and I'm like, this has got to be fake.
Oh, I was seeing the original news about it all afternoon.
It's a Lifetime original mini movie, they're calling it. And essentially, it's a 15-minute short film. Yep. And it is starring Mario Lopez, AC Slater himself, as Colonel Sanders. And, okay, first of all, he looks like AC Slater with gray hair.
Yeah, he does.
Like, he doesn't look like Colonel Sanders like you think of him, if you will. But, yeah, so anyways... I'm pulling up the synopsis now. It's only 15 minutes long. It's going to come out on December 13th at noon. And the synopsis on it is, this is just fantastic. Quite frankly. As the holidays draw near, a young heiress contends with the affections of a suitor handpicked by her mother. When the handsome chef, Harlan Sanders, arrives with his secret fried chicken recipe and a dream, he sets in motion a series of events that unravel the mother's devious plans. Will our plucky heiress escape to her wintry, happily ever after, with Harlan at her side? Or will she cave to the demands of family and duty? I mean, it's a Lifetime original movie. It sounds like a Lifetime original movie.
Yep. Yeah. It sure does.
Yeah. They did a fantastic job, really. I mean, it looks awesome.
It's like a fifth of the entire movie.
Yeah, exactly. I'm super excited about it.
Oh, me too. No, you sent me two other trailers, which were odd ones.
The Many Saints of Newark. Yeah, okay. The Many Saints of Newark. Okay. That's one of the movies that's going to be coming out through HBO Max.
Uh-huh.
And it was actually my buddy Brandon that pointed it out to me. It's a movie, and when you watch the trailer, the movie looks like shit.
Oh, it really does.
And he said it looks terrible. Like, the trailer, it's a terrible trailer.
Yep.
But I can't imagine people aren't going to watch this, because it's a fucking Sopranos movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's essentially Tony Soprano as a teenager, or as a young adult, if you will. It's and Michael Gandolfini, who is James Gandolfini's son, and James Gandolfini played Tony Soprano in The Sopranos. So Michael Gandolfini was playing younger Tony Soprano. I mean, that's kind of cool in itself.
Right.
But yeah, no, this is, and Christopher, his father, is in it. The guy that plays that's his father, you know, in the series is one of the main characters as well. And it's John Bernthal's in it, and Leslie Odom Jr.'s in it, and Ray Liotta, and Verma Farmiga. I can't say it right now, but no, I mean, this has all the potential of being a fucking bombshell of a movie, but holy cow, does it look like shit awful in the trailer?
Yeah, it looks like an old, cheesy, black and white movie.
Yeah, it just looks like garbage in the trailer. The story is, the trailer just did a shit job of telling us about it.
Correct.
But it's the friggin' Sopranos.
Yep.
You know, call it Young Sopranos or whatever. So I think it'll be interesting.
And then the other one.
The other trailer I sent you is called Dawson City Frozen Time. And this is a documentary film. And this is one that Brandon sent to me as well. And Dawson City was a gold rush city in Canada. And gold was found there in late 1800s, like 1898. And like the population, it just exploded to 40,000 people. And to give you a reference, in the 2016 census, 1,300 people lived there. So essentially, this became such a huge hub, and it became a place where movies were sent. And in 1978, when they were doing some work in the town, they discovered buried 533 reels of nitrate film underneath the decommissioned swimming pool. And many of these movies, and these are all silent movies, were thought to be lost forever.
Right.
Which is, this is why it's such a huge find, because they just thought these movies were lost forever, and they found these movies. And of them, like some newsreel footage from the 1919 World Series is in there. And they are buried underneath this in 1929. They got buried there. And then when they got dug out, 50 years later, it was just like, holy cow. Like, this is amazing find for the history of film and the film preservation of film. And yes, a lot of the footage is damaged, but a lot of the footage is still there. Movies that, again, they thought had been lost forever and that they would never see or never be found again. So it's kind of cool. And this is just a documentary about those films. And I don't know, it looks neat.
Yep, I agree. I sent you two trailers this week. I think this is the first week where you outdid me on trailers.
First week in a long time, yes.
One of them is called Call Me Cat. It's a sitcom coming to Fox starring Mayim Bialik as a 29-year-old woman who owns a cat cafe and is essentially a cat person. Yes. You know, she's the proverbial Catwoman, and not Catwoman as in like Michelle Pfeiffer, but Catwoman as in like, you know, she's going to live forever. Swoozie Kurtz is her mom, and she's trying to sell her off into marriage because, you know, my daughter has a lot to offer. It looks cute. It looks funny. It looks like it will never last past the first season.
Yeah, that was kind of the feeling I got on that as well.
And then the second one, we both had the same reaction to The Marksman.
Yep. Yeah. When are people going to realize that, you know, you shouldn't fuck with Liam Neeson's?
Never fuck with Liam Neeson's. Liam Neeson's will destroy you completely. It's a Liam Neeson's movie.
Liam Neeson's movie where he protects a kid.
Yep. Because he was by the border and some drug cartel people tried to get his mom and his and the kid. And the mom got killed, and so he's protecting the kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what he's doing, all right.
Yep.
No surprise.
So, news stuff. Like you said, we talked about the big one.
Yeah.
But I actually had a lot of news this week.
Oh, okay. I don't, so go right ahead.
They just released a very teaserish thing today, so I didn't bother sending it to you. But basically, Charlie Booker, the guy who is behind Black Mirror, is making a mockumentary for Netflix starring a bunch of stars, including Hugh Grant. And it's basically about 2020. They're going to do a recap of 2020 and how batshit crazy it was.
It was pretty shitty.
Yep. So last week we talked about the trailer for the Doctor Who New Year's special.
Oh yeah.
They announced this week that Graham and Ryan are leaving after that.
Oh no.
Yeah. I really liked Graham a lot.
I did too.
I mean, it would kind of make sense in their arc because they basically are much more family-ish now. So maybe they're like, you know, let's just live our lives together.
Yep.
I doubt that it's going to be something like one of them dies, but you know, they're just not going to be back. This is very interesting. I thought you'd appreciate this. So David Ramsey is coming back to 5 episodes in the Arrowverse. He's going to be 4 episodes. He will be Diggle in Superman and Lois, Supergirl, The Flash, and Batwoman. Mm-hmm. And the 5th mystery character that he'll be playing is showing up in an episode of Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh,
most people figure it's the Green Lantern because of that thing at the crossover.
Yep.
So he'll be back for 5 episodes. I'm still not thrilled about the lineup. You know, the DC TV universe isn't what it used to be, but I'd be excited to see Diggle don the ring.
Mm-hmm. When are those shows coming back, by the way?
I don't know. I know they just had to postpone filming on Flash because of COVID.
Yeah.
Like some people tested positive. Here's some awesome news. I don't know what'll become of it, but I really liked it. A major copyright case was settled earlier this week that horror writer Clive Barker has regained the U.S. rights to Hellraiser series.
Interesting.
Yeah, he leveraged his rights under the Copyright Act of 1976, which allows for authors to claim the rights to their works from publishers, or in this case, movie producers, after wait of 30 plus years. The same copyright law is what's currently got the entire Friday the 13th franchise.
I was about to say that's what's holding up Friday the 13th.
Yep. Luckily, this has resulted in a not as complicated ruling for Pinhead over Jason, and will pave the way for new Hellraiser content in the near future. So that's cool. I'm excited about that.
Well, all right. But here's the thing. There's been 9 Hellraiser movies.
Yeah.
Okay. Hellraiser is a cool series, but it's definitely not as popular as other horror series, if you will.
Oh, no. It's much more niche.
Like Hellraiser 2, those were great. Hellraiser 3, all right, okay. Hellraiser... you know, Bloodline, we're starting to go off the rails on this one, folks. And it was straight to video already. And then basically everything after that has just kind of been like, that's a movie that happened. I mean, they came out with 2 in the same year, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah. And then the last couple haven't even had the right Pinhead in them.
Yeah, maybe we'll get a TV series out of it.
Maybe, yeah.
That'd be kind of cool. This is interesting. According to Deadline, Netflix has officially given a series order to Oscar nominee Melissa McCarthy and her husband Ben Falcone's upcoming workplace comedy titled God's Favorite Idiot. It okay. centers around a mid-level tech support employee, Clark Thompson, who's played by Falcone, finds love with co-worker Emily Luck, who's played by McCarthy, at exactly the same time that he becomes the unwitting messenger of God. Also, there's roller skating, a lake of fire, and an impending apocalypse.
Well, there you go.
It's going to be a 16-episode comedy created by Falcone with Michael McDonald attached to direct and serve as executive producer. DuckTales has been canceled.
Melissa McCarthy's 50?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, she's just a little bit younger than Sheldon.
Hmm. What?
Yeah. Go look up his age.
Really?
Well, I know he's older than I am, or he's at least my age. Jim Parsons.
Thank you. Anyways, keep going.
Yeah, DuckTales has been canceled, so this next upcoming season will be the final one on Disney Plus. They're still going to do the spinoff of Darkwing Duck, though, from the looks of it.
Nice.
Yep. Superstore got canceled.
47. Holy cow.
I knew he was right up. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Looks good for his age, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Superstore got canceled. Really? Yep.
This is the final season right now. Some on-set pictures shot by paparazzi, etc., have confirmed that Haley Steinfeld will be playing Kate Bishop in Marvel's Hawkeye TV series.
Yep, I did see that.
That's cool.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so they've officially made a casting of Oscar Isaac as Solid Snake in the upcoming Metal Gear movie. I'm torn about this. I love Oscar Isaac. I think he can do a great job as Snake Plissken, but I really wish that they had gone like a TV series instead of a movie, because there is so much involved in Metal Gear that I think one movie is going to do to it what like Assassin's Creed did by making that a movie. Like, nobody's going to get it. It's going to seem really crappy and it's not going to be a good adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final piece of news that I have is Monster Hunter, the movie, opened in China this past week and promptly got pulled from all theaters. Because the U.S. forces guys in Jeeps driving around made some joke about, you know, what kind of knees are these? Chinese. Ha, 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 ha. And so the Chinese people found it terribly offensive, likening it to the old, you know, school ground, you know, Chinese, Japanese, dirty knees, look at these type thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, the government pulled it from theaters.
Yikes. You think they would have known that was in there before they, you know, when they were translating it?
Yeah, you'd think so. So, yeah. Well, that's all I got for news and stuff.
Are we going to talk about Elliot Page?
Sure.
So, Elliot Page, formerly Ellen Page, came out on her Twitter and announced that he is
transgender
and non-binary, and yep. His and they, them, are his pronouns.
Yep.
Which, that's fine and dandy. Here's what I'm curious about. His character on Umbrella Academy.
Mm-hmm.
Is very clearly a female character.
Correct.
I wonder how they're going to handle that on the show.
They could do it a number of ways. They could, I guess, have him dress up like a female still and then through handle the magic it of that acting, way. Yeah. Or
he's playing a female. Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but when last we left our heroes, they had jumped through time again.
Yes.
And appeared in an alternate reality.
Yep.
Where, you know, the Umbrella Academy never existed. So perhaps the trip to an alternate timeline altered Vanya's DNA.
Right. Vanya's now male.
Right. Which
I could see that happening as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, the voice of Natalie on Big Mouth.
Yes.
That actress is also transgender.
Yes.
And played the bellhop on Jesse.
Oh, okay.
Prior to becoming transgender.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because I was curious if I, who the voice was and that stuff like that. So the person voicing the transgender character on the cartoon is someone who's transgendered from male to female in real life.
You're going to see more and more of that. Like, remember Big Mouth went through that controversy recently with, you know, Missy's character being voiced by a white actress.
Yes.
And so they're very cognizant and very careful now.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Well, it's the same thing. The actor that voiced Cleveland Brown on Family Guy was white.
Yep.
So, all right. Is that everything?
I think that is everything.
All right. Well, we'll move on to The Mandalorian then. So if you don't want to be have it spoiled for you, we'll talk to you another time. And if you're okay with hearing us talk about it, well, then let's jump into the tragedy. First of all.
Not that the episode was a tragedy. The title was literally The Tragedy.
Yes. I just want to say the fight scenes in this were excellent.
Oh, yes.
I've never seen stormtroopers be decimated like this, where like their armor was being broken while they're getting hit with the, I'm going to say, the giant shillelagh. And I was like, holy cow, this is phenomenal. And like the fight scenes are so great. And then when the credits rolled at the end and it popped up directed by Robert Rodriguez, I went, oh, well, there it is.
Yes.
There it is.
And they were not only great, but they were some of the most Star Wars action scenes you've ever seen, because like they literally had stormtroopers charging forward, even after getting shot, like charging towards the person who just shot their friend. Like that is so Star Wars.
Yes. Yes, it is. Well, that's so like
Raven
Civil War time, revolutionary time soldiers. That's what they did. That was how you fought a war. You people got shot. You filled the ranks of the holes where someone just fell.
Yep.
And keep trugging along. So, I mean, yeah, but no, when I saw Robert Rodriguez directed it, I was like, oh, well, you know what? That makes perfect sense. Perfect sense.
Absolutely. Yep. So this episode answered a lot of questions.
Most certainly did.
We got to see some things that we've all been waiting for. We got to see the Dark Troopers, which was great.
Yep.
We got to see the Dark Saber again. We got to see Grogu in full on meditation.
Yes.
And we got to know that Boba Fett's alive, and fuck, her name just slipped my mind. Ming-Na's character.
Fennec Shand.
Fennec, yeah.
Yeah.
I should have remembered that. Fennec Fox.
Yeah. Well,
so Fennec's alive.
Yeah, Mandalorian and Grogu get to Tython. They get to the temple. Grogu sits on the Seeing Stone and starts to meditate, and the Force appears around him and cannot be penetrated. And then Fennec Shand and shows up with, I'm going to call him Boba Fett, but they didn't say it was Boba Fett at the time. He's like, that's my armor. I wondered how long they were going to go before they told us his name, you know? Right. And he's like, oh no, that's my armor. And he's like, or are you Mandalorian? And he's like, nope.
Yeah.
No, it was my father's armor. Yeah. It was my father's armor. It was passed down by generations. My armor now, da, 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 da. That's why he's been following him. And then, you know, it's one of those, like, I got a sharpshooter trained on the child and this and that. And it's Fennec Shand who comes down. And
yeah,
because
the Mandalorian basically told him to fuck off. He's like, yeah, it's not your armor.
Yeah.
He's like, well, yeah, it is. And he's like, no, fuck off.
Yeah. And then Fennec Shand's like, I thought you were dead. I was. And then like reveals that she's robotic from the waist down, or maybe just in the midsection.
I think it's just the midsection.
But, you know, but I was saved by Boba Fett. Like, she's the one that says his name. He doesn't say his own name. We don't get some big, I was saved by Boba Fett.
And it was so throwaway. Like, there was no, like, moment of recognition. Yes. Like, oh, my God, you're the. Nope. It was just like, yeah, I was saved by Boba Fett. Okay.
Yeah, I was saved by Boba Fett. No way. Yep. It, you know, and Fett tells him that armor that was worn by Cobb was my father Jango's, and he was a Mandalorian foundling.
Yep.
Just like the Mandalorian is. And the Mandalorian does agree. But then all of a sudden, some troop landers show up and some stormtroopers charge out. Big fight scenes.
They make a deal because Boba basically says, look, you give me the armor and we'll ensure no harm comes to you or the child.
Yes.
And
yes.
They're like, you know, the bounty on his head is already worth 5 times what it was before. So you're actually getting a really good deal because it's worth more than the armor would be.
Yes. So some transport ships show up. They start battling stormtroopers. Boba Fett with his giant shillelagh staff. I'm going to call it a shillelagh. I don't know. He just starts clubbing. He just starts killing people. Like no one's business. Like he was trained to do. And he just fucking wrecks people.
I'm going to say it's a gaffy stick. I think that's what it is.
Sure. I believe you. I loved it. I love seeing chunks of white armor flying after someone gets devastated in the chest or in the head or in the shoulder, wherever they got hit.
Yeah, it's called a gaffy stick.
Oh, nice. It's an awesome fight scene.
Oh, yeah.
And then you see him look in the ship, and then we cut to Fennec. And then, of course, you know, Mando keeps trying to get Grogu off the Seeing Stone, and he can't. So when he finally is like, all right, I'll be back, he heads down to help them because they're getting overwhelmed. And you have this awesome scene where Fennec and Mandalorian get surrounded. And all of a sudden, Boba Fett shows up in his full armor and continues to kick ass. I loved it so much.
Like he goes into straight what everybody thought Boba Fett was before, you know, complete badass mode.
1000% badass mode. Yeah. And in the scuffle, of course, the dark troopers come down. They're droids.
Yes.
They get Grogu. They get back on the Gideon's destroyer. Speaking of destroyer, the Razor Crest gets completely fucking obliterated.
Oh yeah. Like dusted.
Yeah, like the only thing that survived was like the little ball that apparently was on the stick shift must have been made of the metal.
Yep.
Beskar. Like Kevlar, Beskar. And then the staff that he got, Beskar, from Ahsoka. And I don't know, it's just fucking awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah, the fight scenes, like you said, were incredible. They were very much, they were one-sided, but at the same time, they felt, you know, hectic because you had the troops pouring out of the transports and then the second transport comes down.
And they just were, the joke of Rambo never runs out of ammo. Those freaking transporters never ran out of stormtroopers running off.
Nope. They even set up an Ewe repeater, which was awesome. You know,
yes.
Mounted gun, basically a Gatling gun.
Yep.
And started taking that on Fennec's thing, and she knocked a boulder down, rolled it right down the hill, and destroyed it. That was great.
Oh, they also had, you saw them a lot in World War II, maybe even Vietnam, but I can't think of what they're called. The little miniature. It's like you set it up on the ground. Claymores? It's got a single claymores, yeah. Where they're firing, yeah. We had claymores even.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was. It reminds me of the commentary, not the commentary, but the little documentary for Rogue One.
Yes.
And you had the director talking about one of his favorite things about Empire was the battle, not Empire. Empire Strikes Back was that battle on Hoth, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But in his mind, growing as a kid, he just thought it was so much longer than it was, and it wasn't that long of a battle.
No, it's like the opening scene of the movie.
Yeah, it's such a very short battle, if you will.
Yep.
That's why he had that battle on in Rogue One, as long as it was, and everything, you know, because in him. Like to him, that was like you know, that's what he loved about it. So he had that really, this was that to me. And and Mandalorian, I mean, this was just a Star Wars battle like we haven't seen type of thing. And well, in the original three movies, I mean, obviously in the sequel movies, the prequel movies, we had lots of battles, and 4, 5, and in, you know, 7, 8, 9, we had lots of battles, and in Rogue One, obviously. But anyway, so I don't know. I just loved this episode. It was phenomenal. So
it ended with two kind of like, here's the next step type thing.
Yes.
The first one was Mando basically saying, you know, well, I'm fucked. And I was going to say Django. Boba Fett's like, no, you're coming with us. And he's like, what do you mean? Well, we made a deal that no harm would come to you or the child. The child's been taken. We're going after him. Oh, I loved, by the way, when the Dark Troopers were going up through the sky and Slave One shows up.
Yes.
And Boba's behind the thing and he's like ready to take him out. And the Mandalorian's like, no, don't hurt the kid. And Fennec's just like, yeah, hold back, don't shoot. He goes, okay, I'm just going to follow him up, see what's going on. Like, there was no hesitation. There was no, like, I've got the shot or anything. He's just
yep. No.
Yeah, because he's smart, you know? He was always smart. So, yeah, we see that. So, basically, they're going to team up together. And they go... Wait, was that
a... No. Yeah, they leave in Slave One.
Yeah, and they go back to see Cara Dune.
Yes, they go to. She's a new Republic marshal.
Yep.
And basically, he says like, "Hey, I need a favor. I need you to tell me where Mayfield is. Mm-hmm. He's a sharpshooter. He was the guy from the first season." And she's like, "Yeah, he's here. I need to break him out." And she's like, "Yeah, I can't do that."
Yeah, she's like, "I got to follow rules. Like the kid's been taken." She's like, "Oh, well, in that case."
Yeah,
and just then, the look she gives him is like, "Yep, okay."
And then we see Grogu just tossing these two stormtroopers back and forth with force powers. And Moff Gideon just kind of watches. And then finally, basically, Grogu's, you know, just gets exhausted. And that's basically what Moff Gideon says. You know, he shows him the Darksaber. You recognize this. And then once Grogu like basically...
You're super powerful, but need a nap. He's like, you're super powerful, but it takes so much out of you. You need a little nap.
And then they, you know, basically like shackle him and tell Dr. Pershing that we have the donut.
No.
What?
Keep talking. I'll tell you in just a second.
I'm done.
I just got an email from Pride's Corner canceling the event.
Oh, why?
It says, I'm writing to inform you that It's a Wonderful Life, 6:30 p.m. showing Saturday only, December 12th, Pride's Corner has been canceled. Here's some essential information. We decided to cancel all shows for the week and weekend because of the ice and snow conditions at the theater. We hope to be back and running spring of 2000.
Well, you know what? That makes perfect sense. I can understand that.
Yeah. It's a bummer, though.
It sucks. But you know what? It's not the end of the world.
No, it's not.
You know, we got movies way later in the season than we typically would at the drive-in. So,
yeah.
But, and it sucks for them because any revenue they would have made, because they had Die Hard Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you know, they're missing out on. But once again, for them, they haven't been open through December till night since 1974. So,
right.
And they'll open up in the spring as soon as the ground's hard enough to drive on, because, you know, that's the other thing they're subject to. If we have a real muddy spring, they don't want their ground tore up.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to make sure the ground's nice and firm and dry before they can open in the spring. That's why they didn't. And then, so they usually open sometimes usually end of April or beginning of May, but I think it was like almost Memorial Day weekend this year, because also the pandemic pushed things back a little bit, but.
I'm willing to bet that when drive-ins open in the spring, they're going to start having the ability to show more first run than they ever have before.
Probably. But, you know, they made a killing this year showing old movies.
They sure did.
They made a tremendous killing this year showing old movies. I just wonder, because most drive-ins went from a double feature to a single feature.
Yep.
Or like $5 less, if you will, or they did a double feature, but there were two separate ticketed events. And I wonder if we're going to see that continue.
Maybe.
And then others like Skowhegan stayed to a double feature, Bangor stayed to a double feature. So. But yeah, so Mandalorian was awesome this week. We got only two more episodes, sadly.
I know.
And then that's going to be done. Dude, you know, come the week of Christmas, come the week of, like, yeah, the week of Christmas, we're going to have zero shows to watch. Everything's going to be on high.
But we'll have Wonder Woman 4.
It'll be nice to recover.
Yeah.
So.
And we can do like a look ahead kind of thing or something.
Yeah. Anyhow. Well, that's it for me.
I think that's it for me as well.
Cool. Well, I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I am the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That's the show.
We'll talk to you later.